from the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle. Ye are our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I'm going to preach for a couple of minutes before we go to camp on the topic, just really a question. What kind of letter are you? What kind of letter are you? Will you pray with me? God, we have come to that point in our worship where we sit in desperate chairs, waiting to hear what it is you have to say. We've come to this place, God, needing to hear a word from you. As a child needs his mother's milk, God, we need to hear a word from you. As a deer pants for water in the hot forest, God, we need to hear a word from you. So we ask, God, that you would do that miracle that only you could perform, that as I open my mouth today, that you would speak to your people in a voice that they hear only from you. Speak, Lord, now to your people who wait to hear a word from you, that heads that are bowed down may be raised up, that hearts, Lord God, that have given up may be encouraged, that souls, Lord God, who somehow have lost their way might find new light and new life in you. Have your way, Lord God. Be glorified in every way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It was the end of the second semester of the calendar year 1981. I had just finished my sophomore year at the American University in Washington, D.C., and had taken a co-op to go and learn how to do science in Philadelphia. It was necessary for me to go because I didn't have any money. And co-ops paid. Somebody say amen. Y'all acting like y'all got a lot of money. I was glad to go work in a pharmaceutical company to learn something that I knew I would need, and I wouldn't have to spend money on room and board. Amen. I could eat my great-grandmother's fried chicken. Y'all don't even know how all right that is. I needed to go because I needed to get some academic credit. I had things that I needed to do. God had a preferred future for me. God had given me this opportunity, and I had to leave the confines of the campus at Massachusetts and Nebraska Avenue. Some of you are saying, Pastor, why is that a big deal? You're not the only one to have had to leave and come back to a campus. That's not a big deal. But y'all don't understand. I had met Paula Marie Curry.
All right.
Let me tell you something. Leaving that woman was a problem. It was a problem because there were all these other hound dogs who were trying to get in her ear. But I wasn't so much worried that she would necessarily hear the nonsense that they had to say, because I knew that my rap was so smooth. No, I'm only kidding. We had formed, God had enabled us to form a rapid and deep friendship. From the very, very beginning, when we spoke to one another, we felt one another. One another's genuine love, genuine respect, genuine concern. When I would see her in the morning and ask how you doing, she expected that I really wanted to know how she was doing. And when I saw her in the afternoon and she asked me what kind of day I'd had, I knew that she needed more than, oh, I'm doing all right. And so we had shared the deep things that friends share. Yeah. Let me just put a commercial in here for all you all who are not married. If whoever it is not your friend before he or she becomes your lover. Boy, I'm preaching right now. You might as well hang it up. Because at some point in time, all of that fineness that you see, whether it is in the hair or the shoulders or the washboard stomach, what y'all laughing at? I had all that. I gotta get out of here. But at 55, none of that can be seen. And I'm so glad today that my then girlfriend, now my wife, did not fall in love with me because of what I looked like. There needs to be something deeper that communicates to a place in me that nobody else can speak to. And so this was 1981, and there was still such a thing called long distance charges. Some of y'all are not even old enough to remember these. I understand it. I didn't have a whole lot of money, so there was only so much time I could spend on the telephone from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., listening to her breathe. And I needed to resort to a way to communicate this intense feeling that I had for her all the way from 150 miles north, and I resorted to writing letters. There are people under the sound of my voice who have never received a letter written by the hand of another. We get it in text. We like 45, tweet it. We send emails. But I didn't have technology. I did not have money. All I could do was sit and write a letter. But I thank God that the letter was special and effective, because it gave me time to sit and consider what it is I needed to say. I couldn't wax profound but for so long, but I knew what was important and I wrote it down. Listen, the thing about a letter is that it's just personal between me and you. It is something that I've taken my time out of my day to think about. Here's the thing about writing. You can't just write. You're required when you write, particularly if you write well, to think. Mm-hmm. Like 45, we often write without thinking. It means nothing. It's not effective at anything besides making your life miserable. But a letter requires some time spent thinking about what needs to be said, and then one needs to spend time thinking about how to say what needs to be said in the perfect way that the person who receives it would feel something about it. Amen. Now, I've not talked to my wife about how she felt when she received my letters. We're going to have that conversation later. Amen. When she threatens me for even talking about this in public, it's all right. But letters are meant to convey something that elicit some kind of a reaction to the one who's receiving it. It's different than just speaking to people. It's different than any other mode of communication. There's something special about a letter, and we use them to do things that become necessary. Paul, in this text, had already gone to start the church in Buckwild, Corinth. Y'all know Buckwild? Some of y'all been Buckwild. Some of y'all still Buckwild. And he had managed, by the strength of his preaching and the effectiveness of his teaching, to start a church in this place where everything was bananas. Stepmothers are sleeping with stepsons. It's insane. This is not a soap opera. I'm just reading what the Bible says. And so he had done all this work and poured himself out and went away. And somebody came behind him after he had left and started telling them some things that were counter what he had been teaching. Paul sitting in jail and got the word. Paul is away from Corinth and got the word that somebody had come to the church, the body of believers that he loved, and started preaching some other gospel. Mm-hmm. And so he writes a second letter to them. And he starts it off strangely. Look, y'all, do I need to send you another letter of commendation? Have I lost my authority? Do I need somebody to send me a letter of commendation, a letter of recommendation, saying, y'all listen to Paul? Or can you just hear what I have to say in my letter? I'm the same one who came down there and started some stuff. I'm the same one who began the church. I'm the same one who God used. You heard my voice before. Do you need me to go all the way back there through this communication? But while I'm thinking about it, instead of you all trying to qualify me, let me tell you what God is trying to do to qualify you. You are a letter from God, is what he says. Mm-hmm. Emery Grove, everybody under the sound of my voice is a letter to the world written from God. Transforming the world. Loving the community. How are you going to love the community when you won't allow God to talk to them through you? God's desire is the same as my desire from Philadelphia. God is saying to you and to the people where God is sending you, baby, I sure love you. The same way I was pining for Paula from Philadelphia, God is reaching for people through you. It says it's not written on tablets. It's not written on paper. It doesn't come in email or a text or a tweet. God has written his letter on our hearts. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can't get it anywhere else. It is specific God language that has been written in our hearts. Every one of us has one. If we name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God has written a love letter to the world about your life and about your circumstance and about what he's done for you and how he's brought you out and how he's delivered you and what he wants to do with you on your heart so somebody might see him from that letter. through you. A letter. But there are all kinds of letters. Just this morning, as God would have it, I opened the front door to go put some water on my rhododendron that was looking kind of sad because I've been away. It's a letter from the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's all pretty. It doesn't have a stamp on it because they hand delivered it. Thankfully to the door that we don't go in and out much. Amen. What y'all laughing at? I don't want to talk to them people. But it has a message. And the message is, don't give up. Don't give up. It assumes that whoever it is written to, it is not addressed to me. Doesn't have my name on it. Doesn't know my circumstance. But it does know something about the human condition.
Yes, sir.
That when we face hard problems, that some of us give up. And so when people have given up, folk who are not God can come behind and give another message. Yeah. And they leave with the message, and then they want me to come to the 2017 Jehovah's Witnesses convention. It's a letter. I could assume it's for me, but it's not. It's a letter. I could believe the message, but it's the wrong one. And what does it look like to God when God's people who are supposed to be delivering God's mail to people come with the wrong message?
Ask the question, Pastor.
I am sufficient for you. You seek me first, and I'm going to add all other things to you. If you trust in me, I'm going to give you the desires of my heart, and you standing in the lottery line.
See, what had happened was.
Our lives must read the words of our letter to our community. If we were to say to them that God seeks to transform you, you can't speak that word unless you've been transformed for yourself. How is it you're still living in the same nonsense you were living in before you knew Christ, and Christ has come into your life and there's been no change in your life? What is the world trying to learn from that? If you're going to be one, be one. If you're going to be saved, live saved. It says here in verse 4 what the issue is. And such trust have we through Christ to God. One of the reasons our letters are not effective, and I'm just doing the math, I'm a former scientist, I'm assuming that if God has written a letter on the heart of everybody under the sound of my voice, me included, that on a Sunday morning in July, there shouldn't be enough seats in Emory Grove Sanctuary. I'm just going to make the assumption that if we really told what God had done for us, I don't know all the stories, but I know enough about enough of the stories to know that if we shared with somebody what God had done, that there wouldn't be enough seats in this sanctuary for people to sit. I have to assume that the letters are not being read to people. One of the things I discovered early in my Christian life is that every single conversation with whoever I meet, it might start at football, it might start at work, It might start with, hey, how you doing? How hot it is today? Wherever it starts, eventually, if you talk to me long enough, I'm going to talk to you about what Jesus did in my life. Amen. You see, what he's done for me, I don't know how not to say anything about it. When it's been that good, I don't know how not to talk about it. When I was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ, I got to tell somebody about it. When I was in the muck and the mire and sinking in sand, and God raised me up and set me on a rock, I got to tell somebody. Particularly when they come to me and they in the same mess I used to be in. And we've got a decision at that moment. Are we going to read our letter from God that says, I love you, that I'm able to do this and that and the third thing? And the reason I want to validate it is because the person who's reading this to you, I've done it for them. Are we going to allow that to happen? Or are we going to be just like the people who we're talking to? I wrote to my wife. I knew that she had some struggles, so I would offer her some encouragement. My wife in school was working full time and going to school full time. I knew that was a struggle. I knew why she was doing it, I understood it, I got it, and I would write in my letter some things to encourage her as she went. And she knew I was up in Crestmont and didn't have enough money to even come back to school. And she would write in her letter some words of encouragement for me. The major one is which, I'm gonna see you soon, that's all I needed to hear. And as I recall, I couldn't wait to receive her letters. Because when we wrote them, they were, you know, it wasn't just a page, they would come thick, you know. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You get the letter, you got to go somewhere by yourself and read it. God's letters to people are the same way. They're so good that you can't wait to receive it. Once you've heard the word of God for you, that's what a letter is. That's what an epistle is, the word of God for you. You want to hear more of it. You can't wait till the next one. Some of y'all come to church on Sunday because you're expecting to get a word from God, as if you can't open up your Bible and get it for yourself on Thursday. That's all right. Come and get it on Sunday. We'll be here to give it to you. But you want to hear it. You in fact, you don't want anything to interfere with it. You will get it and steal away to read it. Because it's for you and not for everybody else. For God so loved the world.
Yes.
Isn't that a message? Yes. For God so loved the world and everybody in it. And by extension, God so loved me. Yes. By extension, if I'm talking about me, for God so loved even me.
Yes.
That he gave his only son for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So that I wouldn't die, but I would have eternal life.
Yes.
That's for me. I don't know about you in a situation where you think that life is over, but that's a word of encouragement. If God thought enough about me to give his son to die, I must be valuable to somebody. So I encourage us as you stand to your feet. I want to encourage you today to be God. What word has God written on your heart? On the fleshy tablets of your heart. God dipped his pen of love in the well and wrote on your heart about your situation in your life. What has God written that God wants to share with everybody else? God is sending them to us. We see them as we go by the way. I met a young woman in Appalachia. this week. I don't know how many of y'all have been to Appalachia, but there's not too many people who look like us down there. I saw one couple all week, one time in the Kroger. So I'm wondering how I'm going to be relevant in Appalachia until I went to the house that we were working on. Listen to this. This woman lived in what they call a holler, side of a hill, really. All her relatives lived in trailers, just like hers, within hollering distance. Mm-hmm. This woman was a mother, had a two-year-old and one on the way, and no husband there. And I'm rolling up to Appalachia thinking, how am I going to relate to these white folk? And I got there, it wasn't the whiteness that impressed me, it was the poverty. Because God had written on my heart a long time ago what it's like not to have enough. Somebody hear me?
Yes.
And a letter.